You're listening to The Mark White Show.
That's a good how do you do.
Now celebrating their 65th anniversary, Bob Sykes Barbecue is locally owned and operated by second-generation Van Sykes with the help of his nephew Jason Jewell, third generation of the Bob Sykes family. You can order Bob Sykes Barbecue online at bobsykes.com or visit the drive-thru or dine-in. Open Monday through Saturday, closed on Sunday. Catering, family meals, and tailgate specials are available. You can also check out From the Pit to the Plate, the story of Bob Sykes Barbecue book, now available at bobsykes.com or visit the restaurant. That's Bob Sykes Barbecue, located in the heart of Alabama. That's Bob Sykes Barbecue.
Sometimes life brings you a moment you always will remember. Some of nature's most beautiful creations framed by places we know and cherish. And aren't we in luck that some of life's most memorable scenes are right here at home, all together at Alabama the Beautiful, the group on Facebook where the eye captures the moment. And it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
This is Arnold Edwards, CEO of Aldo Southern Electric Ice Cream. We are changing the world one ice cream at a time.
Boom!
Yeah, awesome!
You rocked that! Way to go, Hunter. Why don't you bring a little something extra ice cream to your next event and find out how they are changing the world one ice cream at a time. All you have to do is give them a call at 256-601-7125 or email extraicecream@yahoo.com. Be sure to follow A Little Something Extra Ice Cream on Facebook and Instagram. With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
Hey folks, it's pumpkin season. At J. Calvert Farms, they are a family farm trying to bring customers the best quality produce that they can buy. Located at 30 County Road 260, Coleman, Alabama, you can give them a call at 256-636-2752 or email jcalvertfarms@gmail.com. or check out their website at jcalvertfarms.com. And did I mention it's pumpkin season? Get over to J. Calvert Farms and find out what we know about this very special farming family. That's J. Calvert Farms in Coleman, Alabama. J. Calvert Farms is a proud member of Sweet Grown Alabama.
Hey, everybody, this is Darryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
This is Nico Johnson from Andalusia, Alabama, assistant football coach at University of Texas. Be where your feet are. You listen to The Mark White Show.
Hey, y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, I'm Crystal Gale, and you're listening to The Mark White Show, and one smile can make a difference.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show. I am your host, Mark White, coming to you on location in Hannibal, Missouri, the home of Mark Twain. I'm glad to be here today with Mr. Henry Sweets. He's the curator at the Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum. Welcome to The Mark White Show, Henry Sweets.
Well, welcome to the Mark Twain Museum, Mark. We're glad to have you.
Glad to be here. I appreciate James for helping set this up. We can have this conversation today for listeners to hear more about the Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum. As the curator, I'm sure you have a lot of information. We probably won't be able to get through all of that today, but at least give people a taste of this place.
Well, of course, Hannibal, Missouri is the town where Samuel Clemens grew up. He was born out at Florida, Missouri, which is about 40 miles west of here. But when he was 4 years old, his family moved into Hannibal, and he lived here into age 17. So all those growing up years were here in Hannibal. And many of the people that he knew became characters in his books. Different adventures he had in town are written about, particularly in Tom Sawyer. And that makes Hannibal one of the best known small towns in the world.
When I told people that I was delivering a Dorothy dress for Wizard of Oz Days this weekend, and I said, I'm coming to Hannibal, several people right off the bat, the home of Mark Twain. They knew it. You're exactly right.
Yes. Anywhere you travel, if you say you're from Hannibal, they either say Mark Twain or Tom Sawyer.
That's great. And a lot of us have grown up with Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, the adventures of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn as children, young people, and a lot of people have drawn inspiration from Mark Twain's writings.
Very much so. I just had a letter from a schoolboy who had just read Tom Sawyer and was telling me how many of the characteristics of Tom he thought he had. And that's one of the things that draws people to Hannibal. They read Tom Sawyer, and those escapades that Tom has are very alive for them, and they want to come see what inspired these. And of course, Cardiff Hill, where the boys go to play Robin Hood, the Great River, the cave south of town, the home where Aunt Polly was raising Tom and Mary and Sid. These are all real places you can come and see. And if you stand up on the top of Cardiff Hill and look out across the river, you get that sort of vision that Mark Twain himself had.
Of course, when you come to Hannibal today in 2022, it looks a lot different than it would have in, say, 1839, when they came from Florida, Missouri to Hannibal.
Oh, yes. When the Clemens family came to Hannibal, there were about 700 to 800 people in the community. It was growing, and by the time he left in 1851, it was up to maybe 3,000 people. But today, we're more like 18,000, and of course, the town has grown outward, and with automobiles to get you around instead of horses, we have a lot larger town than he knew.
Now, Henry, are you a lifelong resident of Hannibal yourself?
Well, my family moved to Hannibal in time for me to enter the first grade, and I left and went to school and taught for a few years and then came back to the museum, and this is my 45th year working at the Mark Twain Museum.
Wow. What did you teach? What kind of teacher were you?
Well, people see me at the museum and won't believe it, but my undergraduate degree was in chemistry, and I taught chemistry and physics for 4 years and wanted to get into the museum field, and here I am.
Did you do that at the high school level or college level?
I was teaching primarily at the high school level, but I've also taught some college courses.
Excellent. That's great. I mean, the background of a teacher, even if it's chemistry, you're still explaining, sharing. There's that connection you're having with young people, and I can see that you get to do that pretty often here at the museum, the boyhood home of Mark Twain. There's no shortage of being able to have opportunities to share, right?
Well, a museum is an educational institution, and we've been working over the last number of years to really change our exhibits to make them more both entertaining and educational. Another aspect of the museum is working with teachers, and we've started a teacher workshop here at the museum, and it started in 2006, and we've been running it pretty much annually except for a break for COVID. And so we're working with teachers on how to use Mark Twain in the classroom.
So working with the teachers, having that relationship with the museum and education, how did that come to pass in 2006?
Well, we were taking a look at the public that were coming into the museum and thought that if we could have teachers working with Mark Twain in the classroom and get the students excited about Mark Twain, that that might lead to family visits coming to Hannibal and to our museum and an opportunity to share Mark Twain with more people. So we thought that working with the teachers was a very logical extension of the museum services.
As a young person yourself, when you were growing up in Hannibal, that first grade kid, and moving forward, what was your interest in Mark Twain? What was it that caused you to be drawn into that story of Mark?
Well, as you grow up in Hannibal, you're always aware of Mark Twain because a number of businesses are named after either Mark Twain or his characters. Mm-hmm. You know, you see the name around. Our schools also have had a program that works with the museum today. The Chamber of Commerce started a Tom and Becky program back in 1956. And every year at the 4th of July, a Tom and Becky are chosen to represent the community. And so as a school student, you knew that this was going on. And so Mark Twain was always there in the background. And I think Hannibal's like any other community. You have people that are very, very interested in whatever the community's known for. You have some people who wish it had never happened. And you have many more apathetic people. And we've been trying to work on those apathetic people to get them more interested in Mark Twain.
Well, Mark Twain passed away in 1910. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about what Mark saw coming from his work, from this man who was born in 1835, passed away in 1910, he becomes an author, a humorist, all of the different things that Mark Twain was to a lot of people, to watch his town grow because of his work, how much of that did he get to see?
Well, Mark Twain left Hannibal at age 17 in 1853, and he never lived here again. He did come back a couple of times when he was on lecture tours, and the boats that he was on would stop at Hannibal. He did lecture here in Hannibal a couple of times. His last visit back to Hannibal was in 1902. He had been nominated for an honorary degree at the University of Missouri, and he decided that this was probably the last time he would be back in this part of the country. So he made a side trip and spent about 5 days here in Hannibal before going down to Columbia to receive that degree. And when he was here, he was observing how much the town had changed, but yet how much he could still remember out of it. And I would have loved to have been with him one particular afternoon when with one of his friends, they got in a carriage and went up on Cardiff Hill and spent a couple of hours just reminiscing about their childhood and pointing out at the town to recall the locations where these different things took place. And I think that would have been a wonderful afternoon to share with him. So he had seen these changes. But in Hannibal itself, Mark Twain was beginning to be revered. We have an 1885 photograph of the home where he grew up that's labeled Mark Twain's Boyhood Home. After he wrote Tom Sawyer in 1876, everyone knew that he was writing about Hannibal and setting the book in Hannibal. And I imagine that there was a queue of people lining up claiming to be the different characters in the book at that time. But at least since 1885, he's been tied that directly to Hannibal, and people have been coming here. So I think if he were here today, he would be very pleased to see that he's being remembered in as many different ways as he is.
Not to put Andy Griffith on the same level as Mark Twain, but I can see how he developed Andy Taylor and Mount Airy Mayberry and had that community where he is well known, Andy Griffith's known in his town because of what he developed in the characters and people. He never admitted to Mount Airy being Mayberry, but a lot of people tie that together and have created a whole town in Mount Airy surrounded by Andy Griffith characters, Andy Griffith boyhood home, and Mark Twain was doing something very similar because he took a town that he grew up in, he loved, he created these characters, and now, as you mentioned, Mark is on a lot of things along with his characters, and I can see in the modern era where Andy Griffith did something similar.
Very much so. Any time that an author or a television program focuses on a particular location, so many of the programs, it's a very nebulous location. You don't know where this is. They may give it a name, but it's not based on something real. But particularly in the example I mentioned of Hannibal, with all of the different landmarks that Mark Twain incorporated in his books, when you can come and see those landmarks, it really really becomes alive for the visitor, and that's what's different. What you mentioned with Andy Griffith, of course, they're going and the stage sets that the program was filmed on, I don't think have been moved there, but they can certainly play off the same thought. And again, that makes it alive for those visitors going to that site. And that's what really makes these things interesting for the visitors.
Right now, we're talking to Henry Sweets. He's the curator at Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum. We're glad to be in Hannibal, Missouri today to share this with you because I wanted you to know a little bit more about Mark Twain, about his life, and maybe take a visit yourself. You can come to Hannibal, Missouri, and you can look at these different places and enjoy the businesses that have tailored their business around this idea of what Mark Twain brought to the area with The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn and his other works. And I'm glad to have Henry with me today to share about this. And I hope you'll stick with me as we continue this conversation on the other side from Hannibal, Missouri. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Yeah, every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Athens Bible School is accredited by Advance Ed, a member of the National Alliance of Concurrent Enrollment Partnerships, and is a satellite campus of Calhoun Community College. For more information, call 256-232-3525. Or visit our website at athensbibleschool.org.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes. For those of us who are directly responsible for the care of loved ones, we want to do the very best we can to take care of them. This is where estate planning is so important. With estate planning, you can still take care of your loved ones even when you're gone. I encourage you to make a plan by going to BamaEstatePlanning.com. Harlan Mitchell has all the tools you need to make a solid plan for your family, just like I did. That's BamaEstatePlanning.com. Make a plan and do it today.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers.
At J. Calvert Farms, they can't wait to see you at their first annual Fall Fest, October 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Located at 30 County Road 260, Coleman, Alabama, this will be a perfect weekend activity for the kids. Tickets are $8 per child for all activities, plus a free small pumpkin, $2 per activity if they don't want to do them all. There will be discounted prices for families with three or more children, and kids two and under are free. For more information, you can give them a call at 256-636-2752 or email jcalvertfarms@gmail.com and check them out on the web at jcalvertfarms.com. J. Calvert Farms is a proud member of Sweet Grown Alabama.
This is Cora White inviting you to tune in every Saturday to Cora's Corner on The Mark White Show.
He drives into the city, extra hard all day, finishes up early so he can get away.
Welcome back to The Mark White Show. I'm coming to you from Hannibal, Missouri. Glad to be here with Mr. Henry Sweets. He is a curator here at the Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum. He's a former teacher himself. Although it was chemistry, it was a different element. But here he is now as the curator, 45 years committed to this. And his knowledge of Mark Twain, his knowledge of this area, Hannibal, he grew up here himself, was brought here in the first grade. We're glad to have Henry Sweets with us here on the Mark White Show today. Welcome back, Henry.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
When you think about the 45 years that you have put into your work as the curator, as working here at the museum, and working with educators, what do you feel is the most fulfilling part of that to you with the job that you do?
Well, I think what I like the most about the time I've been here is how much the museum has grown. When we take a look at history, in 1910, Mark Twain died. And 2 years later, there was a project underway that was going to tear down the Mark Twain Boyhood Home and several other structures to build a larger building. And a local attorney stepped forward and bought the Boyhood Home and gave it to the city of Hannibal, thus preserving it. With time, a few other buildings had been added to the museum. A WPA project built a museum for the Mark Twain site. Then the Pollester House, or Grant's Drug Store, and the Justice of the Peace Office that Mark Twain's father, John Marshall Clemens, had used were given to the city. And when I arrived, those were the museum properties, and they're all on a mall that a half a block of street had been blocked off to be the mall area for the museum. Since then, we were able to acquire the house where Laura Hawkins lived, the model for Becky Thatcher. We've reconstructed the Huckleberry Finn house, and we've added a brand new large museum. So we've greatly expanded from the four buildings that were here when I first came. Our visitors now have eight buildings full of exhibits and stories about Mark Twain to be shared. So I think that growth is probably what I am proudest to see have happened.
Who was this attorney that saved the building?
His name was George Mahan, and he was a very prominent local person. And when it was first announced about the Boyhood Home maybe being torn down, the Chamber of Commerce started a project to raise money, but they weren't very successful. And Mahan was very history-oriented, and he stepped forward and bought the home and fixed it up and then gave it to the city. And he was a lifelong supporter of history in the area.
That's amazing. You think about people who make a difference, who step up and they say, I want to do this. And he was a person of action, clearly, to do this and to then pass that along to the city for them to be able to utilize what has become such an iconic area, Hannibal, Missouri, for Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens.
Very much so. And it passed on down to his children and to his grandchildren. They've been supportive through the years. The Pollester House that I mentioned was given to the city by his daughter-in-law. And they've been continually supporting the museum.
When you think about the legacy of Mark Twain, and there are a lot of different facets to Mark Twain, obviously. And if you go and you research and you Google and look up Mark Twain and all the information about him, what do you believe or think that Mark Twain wanted to be remembered for?
Well, Mark Twain was a wonderful observer. And he had a memory that could recall things many, many years later, and he had vocabulary to put things down on paper. And with all of those, he approached human nature. And if you take a look at his books, picking just Tom Sawyer to begin with, if you think about the fence painting scene in Tom Sawyer, the way that Tom gets the boys not only to paint the fence, but to pay him for the privilege of painting the fence is a line of reasoning that could be used today. It's not something that goes out of style. Moving on to Huckleberry Finn, the main points in Huckleberry Finn, again, are human nature. We're taking a look at racism, not just slavery, but racism in general. And the way that the people act in the book is human nature, which doesn't change much. And that book is still troublesome for a lot of people today because the issues that it was attacking haven't gone away. So I think when we take a look at his writings and what he's remembered for, it's more of the just looking at human nature, he was such a good observer and promoter of that.
Well, and thinking about Mark Twain, born in 1835, by the time the Civil War is happening, he's a middle-aged man. Mm-hmm. That's interesting, too, to think about. Here he was with his work, what he was doing, and we've got a war between the states happening as he's in his 30s.
Well, yes. Sam Clemens had left Hannibal, had traveled some, came back, and had learned to be a river pilot, was licensed as a river pilot. And so when the Civil War broke out, he was without a job because the federal government took over all the boats on the river. And he was looking at this conflict that was coming. He was wanted by the federal government because he had the knowledge of a pilot, and he wanted to get away from that. So his brother, ironically, had been helpful in getting Abraham Lincoln elected, and as a political favor, was appointed to be the secretary for the territory of Nevada. So Sam went with his brother out to Nevada, and so the Civil War years, he's out west and away from the war itself. So he didn't have the firsthand knowledge of what was going on with the war.
Wow. When we're talking to listeners right now and they're hearing about the Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum, what is it that you believe would bring them here? What would cause them to want to come and visit this area to see what there is to offer?
Well, again, the best promoter of Hannibal is Mark Twain himself. Many, many, many school children read Tom Sawyer or read excerpts from Tom Sawyer. And it's so lively and so real for them that I think just to learn that this is based on real people, on real place, is what's the attraction that brings the people to Hannibal. They're coming to explore where Tom Sawyer actually lived.
And how would you like for people to connect? When people are hearing about this, they hear about Hannibal, Missouri, they hear about Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, how would you want them to find out more information?
Well, certainly contacting the museum, we can provide information. We have a website, which is very easy. It's marktwainmuseum.org. So if you can just remember that who we are, Mark Twain Museum, and put a .org, you can get in, and we have information on our buildings. You can take a virtual tour of the buildings. We have an education page for both youngsters and for teachers with information on it. And then a lot of ties to the other sites around the area. Hannibal has a visitor and convention bureau that you can reach for more information. So if you contact us, we can start getting you a lot of information on Hannibal and on the Mark Twain Museum.
And I hope that when people come to Hannibal, they get to meet you and your 45 years of dedication to this work. Thank you for that. Thank you for what you've done to bring teachers and students together through this effort. And I think it's remarkable that there's so much involvement that you have been able to accomplish with the schools, with your background as a teacher yourself. This is wonderful.
Well, this has been a very wonderful and rewarding job at the museum. Where else can you sit in a small town and have the world coming to see you and interested to come see you? We literally have people from around the world. We will have 60 to 70 different countries sign our guest register in the course of a year, people from every state. And again, they're coming because they're interested in Mark Twain. So that makes the work here at the museum very pleasurable.
Henry Sweets, curator at Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum, thank you for joining me here on the Mark White Show today.
Well, you're very welcome. Hope that you'll come back again, and hope that all your listeners are a little piqued to find out more about Hannibal and Mark Twain.
Absolutely. MarkTwainMuseum.org. Go check it out, folks. Come to Hannibal, Missouri. Find out about the Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum. Come and enjoy this area. I was able to look out over the River, Mississippi River, last night and this morning from my room. And you can go and see the places that Mark Twain was talking about. If you've enjoyed the adventures of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, maybe this is the place for you to come, the Mecca, if you will, to come and enjoy Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, the life of this man who influenced and inspired so many. Here on the Mark White Show, we're recognizing difference makers and sharing their stories to encourage and inspire. And I hope you are encouraged by the show today, and we'll share it with your family and your friends. Let them know about Hannibal, Missouri. Let them know about Mark Twain, and maybe there's some things that they've missed and they want to learn about. This is a great opportunity to do that. I hope that you'll follow The Mark White Show on Facebook and Instagram and subscribe to The Mark White Show podcast wherever you get your podcast. You have been listening to an on-location edition of The Mark White Show coming to you from Hannibal, Missouri, the boyhood home of Mark Twain and museum located in Hannibal. And this is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
There are moments in life you wish you could capture forever. Alabama the Beautiful is a new online magazine that preserves images from sweet home Alabama. Yours anytime, online, every month. Where the eye captures the moment, and it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still Your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
The Dependable Service Center.
At the Tennessee Aquarium, you can explore the Earth's biggest rivers, swim the ocean's hidden reefs, and discover new creatures that stretch the imagination. Experience a world of endless adventures at the Tennessee Aquarium.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call, located in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama.
This is William Lee Golden with the Oak Ridge Boys. I want you to stay tuned for Chorus Corner coming up next, right here on The Mark White Show.
Thank God for kids.
It's never too early to save for college.
Contact Brad Wallace, your Edward Jones financial advisor, on Hughes Road in Madison, Alabama. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC. Welcome to another episode of Cora's Corner from Cora White. Today, Cora will be reading Superpowers, written by Michelle Norwood and inspired by Hunter Norwood of A Little Something Extra Ice Cream. The book is illustrated by Mason Holcomb. And now, here's Cora White.
Once upon a time, a beautiful baby was born. On this beautiful baby's birthday, the doctor proclaimed, "This baby has been born with superpowers." The beautiful baby's parents were shocked. "How do you know our beautiful baby has been born with superpowers?" The doctor then pulled out his book of knowledge and began to show the parents all the reasons he knew their beautiful baby had superpowers. Number one, the doctor said, your beautiful baby's hands have an impressive crease on his palms. This crease is called a single palmar crease. It has also been referred to as the Matsukake line, which ancient Japanese emperors believed to be the mark of the conqueror. The baby's parents smiled as they realized their beautiful baby born with superpowers had already conquered their hearts. Number two, the doctor continued, your beautiful baby has starry eyes. These stars are called bush-filled eyes and are almost always found in the eyes of children born with superpowers. The doctor and parents agreed. The stars are very, very lovely. Number three, the doctor smiled. Your beautiful baby's starry eyes are almond-shaped. While no one really knows why people with superpowers have almond-shaped eyes, we do know a few things about almonds themselves. You see, as a doctor, I often recommend people invest in almonds. Almonds have many health benefits to improve a person's life. We have seen time and time again that almond-shaped eyes do the same thing. When families and friends invest their time and love in a person with almond-shaped eyes, lives are always improved. Your beautiful baby with superpowers will improve the lives of their community and beyond. But doctor, how are we chosen to be parents of a beautiful baby with superpowers? The mom and dad asked. No one in our family has superpowers, they continued. The doctor replied, no one knows why you were chosen, but in a very short time, you will realize you must be very special to have been given this beautiful baby with superpowers. We have so many questions, said the parents. The doctor listened patiently. How will our baby's brother and sister react when they learn this beautiful baby was born with superpowers? They asked. One of the many gifts that accompany a beautiful baby born with superpowers is the gift to make people better. Your other children will adore this baby and will always declare their lives are better because of their sibling with superpowers, assured the doctor. To read the rest of Superpowers and to find out more about some of the superheroes with superpowers, order your copy of Superpowers on Amazon.
Superpowers is written by Michelle Norwood, inspired by Hunter Norwood, and illustrated by Mason Holcomb. You have been listening to another episode of Cora's Corner from Cora White. You can hear Cora's Corner every Saturday right here on The Mark White Show. Here on The Mark White Show, we're recognizing difference makers and sharing stories to encourage and inspire. I hope that you are encouraged and inspired by The Mark White Show and want to make a difference in the lives of others. I want you to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook and Instagram and subscribe to The Mark White Show podcast wherever you get your podcast. You can now listen to The Mark White Show on 98.1 The Beat through Rocket City Broadcasting every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also stream the program at 981thebeat.com. Tomorrow, we'll be focusing on I Am More Foundation, so I hope you'll tune in to 98.1 The Beat at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. You have been listening to another edition of The Mark White Show, and this is Mark White.
And Cora White,
encouraging you
to find your purpose
by making a difference
in someone's life today.
Who live and love in my hometown. Ah, these are my kind of people.